wait a minute. You're telling me I'm going to live in a fallen world where I'm imperfect, those around me are imperfect. I'm going to constantly be dealing with challenges, persecution, constantly dealing with those who hate you, who want to sabotage you, constantly being misunderstood, ailments in your body, sickness, disease, all of those things are going to constantly be what you're going to deal with in this world. But God said through Jesus Christ, but be of good cheer. Wow. Welcome back to Changing Lives. This is where we change lives with the Word of God. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in. And I know that this word is definitely going to change your life. I want to talk with you today about living life in challenging times. As we can already tell that we've been living in a world where there is so much going on, a lot of unrest, civil unrest, not just in our own home turf. You know, I live in America, but all around the world, there is a lot of craziness going on. Wars, you know, we used to hear about wars, but now it's knocking right at our back door. And so not only that, you know, just the physical things that we experience, but a lot of things going on mentally and just unrest in the souls and lives of people. I mean, you hear so much more about, you know, mass killings and all kinds of things. And it seems like evil is really encroaching upon us closer and closer than ever before. I reflect back in the times of, you know, dealing with COVID and how a lot of things caught us off by surprise. And but it was really a reset for the body of Christ to be able to really return back to our first love, to return back to our dependency and trust in God, and to really strengthen our faith in God in order to survive in those times. And yet, I sense that we're coming upon another wave of us having to really check ourselves and see, are we able to weather the challenging times that are ahead of us? It's no secret. You know, the Bible tells us about, you know, the days of evil that will come. We're even seeing biblical prophecy coming to pass, you know, like never before. And so we have to, as believers, as the body of Christ, be able to look at ourselves and see where we are and ensure that we are in a place where we're able to continue to live life as God has intended for us to live, but to be able to deal with it, with the challenges and all that come along with it. And so, you know, it's really connected to spiritual warfare. Whenever you have things that are challenging, I mean, everybody wants to live in a world where, you know, you don't have challenges, but the reality is that challenges are going to always be there. I'm reminded of this scene in The Color Purple where Sophia, you know, she comes to this scene where she's dealing with some challenges and just fighting within her own family structure and in her own house. And she has this infamous scene that says, all my life I've had to fight, you know, and it's comical back then, but even the truths that she dealt with in her own life and that storyline, you know, where you're going to live your whole life contending with and fighting for what you believe and fighting for a life that is a better life. And so, and here we are, you know, in today's world where you're still going to have to deal with, you know, fighting. But what I want to turn our attention to is not the physical fight, you know, you're going to have things that are going to happen. Nobody wants to be in a physical fight. But we know that we have armies and we know that we have different lines of defense so that we can fight even in the physical realm, you know, for what we know is right, you know. And but greater than the physical fight that is playing out and is going to continue to play out, we have to be in tune like never before to fight the good fight of faith. Okay. And so in order to do that, we have to recognize that, you know, the spiritual realm and how powerful it is and how God has set this thing up in such a way where we're able to fight a fight, but not in the flesh, not in our intellect, not in our emotions, not in the physical, right? And so we have to be trained like never before to be more in tune in the spirit realm to fight the good fight of faith. You know, when I think about, you know, challenging times and things like that, I think about the different types of challenges that we can have. And, you know, we look at the flesh, you know, the word of God always talks about the flesh and how the flesh is always enmity against the spirit realm. And so you deal with temptation, you deal with sin, you deal with those things that that play out in our flesh, right? But then also you'll see throughout the word where there is a warning against another type of challenge that we deal with, and that is the cares, the ways, the culture, the system, the motives of the world. You know, the infamous scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, where it talks about don't be conformed to this world. And it goes on to say, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then there's another scripture where it talks about we are not of this world, we're in this world, but not of this world. And then other scripture that gives warnings about allowing the world to encroach upon us and how important it is for us to be really in tune in the spirit realm. And then another degree of challenges, warfare, if you will, and really that's what it is. Challenges are warfare. You know, you have not only challenges, you have persecution, you have all kinds of things that tie into spiritual warfare. And so, of course, we know behind all of this is what? Behind temptation, sin, you know, the culture of the world, which is founded upon anything that is opposed to the culture and nature of God, the ways, the thoughts of God, right? And so it is all infiltrated behind the mastermind of it himself. The enemy, Satan himself, right? And so he is an enemy of God. He's been an enemy of God since the time that he decided that he wanted to be in God's place. And God was like, I'm not having it. And he kicked him out of heaven. And we know that now we see all the evil that's in the world. And the war that we're fighting is against the enemy. And so he brings a third of the angels with him, which we know as demons. And so we understand through the word of God where it tells us about the principalities, the powers, the spiritual wickedness that we contend with. And so we as Christians, as believers in the faith, believers in God, our Father, that we cannot play around with, you know, and play lightly with the fact that we are in spiritual warfare, right? And so so I'm going to take the time, you know, for however long the Lord wants to lead, to really break these things down so that we can, in a practical way, practical meaning not that we're going to just, you know, try to make it so fleshly, no, but practical in a way that we can apply it to our lives so that we can receive the victory that God has intended for us to have. And so that we can be able to fulfill kingdom work within the earth realm and that we can still live the good life because God shows in his word, you know, that he wants us to live the good life, even while we're doing the mission that he has called us to be in his army. Did you know that you are in the army of God? Didn't know you signed up for it, did you? Well, when you gave your life to the Lord, he automatically placed us in, another analogy, the household of faith. He's placed us in the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, we are in a state of warring constantly against the enemy. And so, of course, on God's side, he has his angelic host. He has God himself, Almighty, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and he has us as a part of his army, right? Because we know that we are in a fight of good over evil. And so if you didn't know, now you know now, you signed up, right? You gave your life to the Lord. You recognize that God is the all-wise and eternal God, that there's no one greater or wiser than him. And you surrendered your life to him by recognizing that he is God and God alone. And he is the one that you want to give your life to, right? So that's a part of that salvation plan. So our rights are that we are signed up in the army of God. When you read, begin to study scripture, if you've already read through scripture, you know that there's many references that talk about, you know, being in the army, you know, being a soldier, fighting the good fight of faith. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, you know. And so we'll touch bases on a lot of those scriptures as we begin to really understand how to live in this world. And even though there are challenges, even though there's persecution, even though there's all kinds of things going on around us, how do we live the life that God has intended for us to live? And so we'll just allow the word to do what it does, right? We'll allow the word to be our truth monitor to let us know that's what we're going to stand on in these challenging times. Amen. And so, yes, we are in the Lord's army. I remember, you know, just as a little girl in vacation Bible school singing a song that I'm in the Lord's army, you know. And so even then we received that spiritual truth through that little childhood song that we are in a spiritual warfare. Okay. And so I want to start out with this scripture. 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. And what is the spirit that lives in the world? We know that it is the spirit of the Antichrist, against God, anti-God, anti-Christ, right? And it is Satan. It is the devil as we know him as well. And so we recognize that even though we're in this world, we do not have to fall prey to the tactics of the enemy and allow him to just run us any kind of way that he wants to, okay? So get that settled in your mind. Now, the sheer fact that we are in the Lord's army, I'm already going through my mind of just being in anything that belongs to God, that we are already in a place of security. We're already in a place of greatness that's greater than the world, right? And so that's what the scripture tells us, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, okay? And so we're in an army, and we're in an army because the army is being equipped and trained to do what? To fight in a war, right? And so, but it's not a physical war that I want you to focus in on. I want you to focus in on the spiritual. And so again, we talked about, you know, the state of the world. I mean, I just look at the state of people's minds like never before. We're seeing, you know, the mental distress and depression and suicide and just gender confusion and all kinds of things that's happening that's confusing and just discombobulating the mind of people. And so, But the Bible tells us that we are fighting a war, you know, but it's a spiritual war. And if we can lay hold to the spiritual truths in the spiritual war, we will win every time. I'm reminded of this familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds. Okay, so that is a spiritual war, right? And so it points out that we are in the flesh, we're in the world, you know, but we're not warring according to the flesh. That means we're not going to allow the flesh to dictate to us. We're not going to allow the world to dictate to us. And I want you to bring this all into context because we're living everyday lives in our homes, on our jobs, interacting with people, you know, whether it's in the marketplace, in your community or whatever, how does this translate to, okay, it's a spiritual warfare, right? You can't just walk around, and I use this analogy, like a big purple Barney, and not be aware of what's going on around us, okay? And so we have to bring into context, when you're in your home and you're dealing with mental distress that may be in something that you're dealing with yourself, or something that that's going on in your children or your spouse or whatever it may be, when there's fighting and wars that's going on the inside of your household, that's diabolically opposed to the way that God wants your household to be, then you got to recognize you're dealing with spiritual warfare. You are contending with the enemy that does not want you to have peace in your home, that does not want you to have peace within your own self. He doesn't want you to have a peace in flowing in the things of God that God has intended for you to have. So you got to recognize that we are contending with an enemy that is fighting against us to win the war. And we've been given tools to be able to war against the enemy. So just recognize that. So strongholds, there's strongholds in your mind. There's strongholds that you can deal with habits that have kept you down. There's poverty strongholds. I can remember just growing up and having certain mindsets that just automatically kept a vice over my mind to make me think I can't do better. Therefore, I won't do better. Things are never going to work out for my favor. A number of different things, looking at other people and being jealous of other people for them moving up and doing better. And those are all types of poverty mindsets that really can become a stronghold, that when you actually can do better, you won't even believe that you can. And that is a vice on your mind. So there are strongholds that manifest in our lives. You know, when you have unforgiveness, that's a stronghold. When you have anger and bitterness, those are strongholds that the enemy wants to lay a hold in your life. When you have low self-esteem issues, when you have issues that, you know, that deal with how you feel about yourself, your self-worth, and it constantly plagues you, that's something that's a vice over your life, that's a hold on your life, that the enemy doesn't want you to see that this is a spiritual thing that you're contending with, right? It's not just something naturally in the flesh that's manifesting itself. No, these are strategic attacks that the enemy has planned out from the time that we were in our mother's womb. And he strategically planned them out, that if he can get a vice over our minds, if he can get a vice over our relationships, if he can get a vice in our living and the way that we see God, those are strongholds that will keep us in this place of being held captive, okay? And so, you know, when you even look in the natural, if someone's held captive on the enemy's turf, they want to be set free. They don't want to be held captive in the enemy's home turf and be tortured and tormented and all of that. No, they want to be free. And so even in the spiritual realm, you got to recognize you can't give way to being tortured constantly in your mind and tortured constantly in the structure of your family, relationships, and all of those types of things, and just be okay with it, right? And so we got to recognize, no, this is a spiritual warfare. You can't contend and fight in the flesh. You can't argue and be bitter and all of those things, right? Those are things that manifest itself in the flesh. You got to back it up and recognize what's the spiritual barometer in this thing. What is the spiritual take from this thing, and recognize that it is a war that you're in, okay? And you got to be conditioned to fight against the enemy, okay? You can't just pray and give way to the enemy, all right? So we hear constantly, you know, the phrase, fighting the good fight of faith. And I can also remember having this mindset that I don't want to deal with things. You know, I'm thinking in my mind that someday I'll reach this place where I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with people. I don't have to deal with things going wrong and all that. And I had a rude awakening. It was an awakening that I had to realize you are living in a falling state. You're living in a world that's falling, an imperfect world. I'm imperfect with imperfect people. And you're going to constantly have things that you're going to have to deal with. That's just a part of life, right? And so you have to condition yourself that, yeah, you're going to have challenges. Yes, you're going to have persecution. I'm reminded of the word of God that Jesus, he was the one that admonished us that you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're telling me I'm going to live in a falling world where I'm imperfect. Those around me are imperfect. I'm going to constantly be dealing with challenges, constantly dealing with persecution, constantly dealing with those who hate you, those who want to plan things against you, who want to sabotage you, who want to, you know, do all kinds of things, right? Constantly being misunderstood, you know, all of these things, right? Dealing with ailments in your body, sickness, disease, all of those things are going to constantly be what you're going to deal with in this world. But God said through Jesus Christ, but be of good cheer. Wow. God will never tell us anything. He will never, you know, that word be means that it is possible. And you can make a conscious decision to work towards that every day of your life. So that word be means it's possible, right? So God will never tell us to do something that is not possible through trusting in him and depending on him, okay? So translate this to your home, your job, dealing with your children, dealing with all of those different things that are challenges, that's a war, that's a battle that's going on, right? In your flesh, okay? So, but the word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That lay hold means it's possible, right? It says where you are called and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses, right? So it's letting us know you can fight the fight. It's a good fight. Why? Because when you already know in this fight, if you do it God's way, right, that you're going to be victorious, right? And so it's a good fight and that you're able to do it, but you got to get your mind in that mental space that when you wake up in the morning, you can't be in fear. You can't allow fear to overtake you. You can't allow the challenges to weigh you down. You got to recognize God has given me what I need to fight this good fight of faith and the fact that I win. If I just stay in the fight and do it the way God has trained me to do it or is trying to train me to do it, then I can win this thing, right? And so that's good to know, right? And so one of the biggest things is that we have to be able to recognize where our help comes from, right? You know, we're living in a world where we're more educated than we've ever been before. We're more empowered in our being than we have ever been before. We got more on our side than we've ever been before. You back it up 100 years ago, I mean, you had to do everything from scratch. Now things are at our fingertips. Things are easier, but yet there is a stronger spiritual warfare that we're having to deal with. And we've been versed in, you know, a lot of natural things, you know, intellect and the how-tos. We got, you know, things we can get on the internet and research and know how to do this and how to do that. So we don't have a lack of knowledge. What we do have is a lack of dependency in God. We trust a lot in our own ability and our own might. We put a lot of trust in man. We put a lot of trust in politicians and leaders and all of that. And yeah, there's a certain level that you want to trust people in. But when you put all your hope in the government, when you put all your hope in this system or that system or this type of, you know, mechanism or whatever, then you leave out God. And we can't do that because everything about us has been fortitude by God. You know, we live and we move and we have our being in God, whether you know it or not. The air that I breathe is because God has placed it in my lungs. And when we are able to tap into that reality, then we're able to humble ourselves and recognize we need God now more than ever before. So what? Don't get up in the morning and get up in your own strength. You didn't wake yourself up. Come on now, recognize that. No, you know, don't get up and depend on your steps 1, 2, 3 to go through life for that day. No, you got to recognize, even though I may know how to do this or do that with, you know, my hands tied behind my back and my eyes closed. No, God, I still depend on you, because guess what? There can be an audible that God wants to call in order for certain things to come to pass in our lives. And we got to always factor in God, okay? So the first thing that we have to do when we're dealing with spiritual warfare, you got to recognize that we have to rely on God's power. And I can go on a whole different message talking about the power of God. There's nobody greater. Come on, we sing songs. There's nobody greater than God. Is that really true? Do we really believe that? Where our actions will speak louder than our words and what we sing. Our conviction will come through when we really depend on him for everything that we do, right? And so we have to rely on God's power, not our own power. And any power that we have has been given to us by God, right? And so we got to recognize that the devil is not stronger than God, right? And so therefore, anything that he dishes out to us and against us, we can't allow ourselves to cower out because we think the devil is stronger, because the devil, he's putting on so much heat in whatever situation, in our relationships, in our marriage, or, you know, on our jobs, or trying to get ourselves together in our household. We can't back down because the heat is so hot, right? We have to recognize, no, God will sustain me. He will keep me if I allow his power to play out and not be bullied by the enemy's so-called power that he wants us to believe is stronger than God, right? And so I have a few scriptures, but I will probably put more scriptures in the comments or credit section, so you can really use those scriptures to allow the spiritual truths to become a part of your whole foundation of depending on God, right? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And it's so our strength, our ability, our might, all of that, it comes through God. And if you haven't recognized that yet, I promise you, you don't want to go the hard road of going every other direction, and then you come to the end of yourself and you find out that still God is the one that prevails. You want to recognize through receiving the truths from his word, this is my reality, this is my truth, and I trust God and I believe God's word. So I'm going to take the shortcut, right? I'm going to take the shortcut and I'm going to believe that God is greater than anything, and that my strength, my ability, my might comes forth in its fullest strength and power when I'm doing it through him, okay? Ephesians 3:20. Come on, we're familiar with that. That says that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we ask or think. Come on, think about. You know, I think about my apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson. He says that you can't think or dream no bigger than what God can deliver. Come on, your biggest dreams, God can deliver even beyond that. That's the epitome of that particular scripture. But it gives credence to God's limitless power, right? His willingness to work in us with this power, right? He is willing to take his power and work through us. And so that is very strong. And then the scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6, where it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways. That word all encompasses a lot, right? So we can't pick and choose when we're going to allow God to move in our lives, when we're going to yield to him, right? And so sometimes what we do is We pick and choose when we're very familiar with something, when we're comfortable with something, we figure, okay, I can do this. But then we leave out God. God's like, no, I need you to acknowledge me in everything that you do. Why? Because when we do that, then we lead way for God. Is there anything else you want to do in this? God, you see beyond what I can see. How do you want to work in this situation, right? And so, and then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Being strong, we can only be strong when we're in him and in his mighty power. Then it goes on to say, put on the armor of God. And we're going to expound upon that armor as we go in the days to come to really talk about how to live life in challenging times, right? And so there's many other scriptures, but the gist is this, you got to really allow yourself to be focused in on God's power. God, I'm yielding to your power. You're greater, you're stronger, you're wiser, you're all knowing. And the word of God says, power belongs to God. What power? All power, you name it, whatever kind of power that you could think of, authoritative power, dominion power, whatever kind of power there is, it all belongs to God. And so if God owns all kinds of power, then that means if I tap into him and if I yield to him, then he's able to show me how to operate and flow in his power so that I can be able to defeat or come out on top in dealing with challenging times, okay? And so as I gave mention to Ephesians chapter 6, that is a very powerful foundation of how spiritual warfare is played out in our lives. And so we're going to dissect that. But one of the key things that I recognized in Ephesians chapter 6 is it's letting us know that we don't have to cave in when things come our way. That we've been given some things that we can withstand the devil. And oftentimes when I think about the time when I was actually, I had a moment in time when I was a bully. And a lot of people, as I tell the story, they laugh at it because they're like, oh, you go, Pastor. It's like, yeah, I was a bully until I recognized the ramifications of being a bully, right? I don't even know why I bullied, but I had a good friend. And I would say she was my best friend at the time. This is when I was in elementary school. And so she had a sister, and her sister was very, sheepish. And for some reason, I just felt the need to just kind of bully her and pick on her and just say different things to her. And it went on, for a while. And then this happened to be the last day of school. The last day of school, back then, we had it where the buses would come up and around the loop, and we would be playing for recess, would end with recess, and everybody would be outside playing, waiting for their buses to come up, and we get on the bus and we leave and go home. So I was, as usual, waiting for the bus, and of course, I would see her throughout or whatever and just pick on her, or just whatever, didn't think anything of it, Of course, at the time, I probably felt good about myself. But then this particular day, it was the last day of school. And all of a sudden, I saw her come up to me. And then there was a whole bunch of other people, which in hindsight, I recognized it was probably her relatives. And they began to circle me. And she was in the middle of the circle with me. And I was like, uh-oh, something's getting ready to go down. And before I could really think through that to run or to defend myself or whatever, she laid a combination of punches on me. And But just as quick as she laid it on me, it was done. It was over with. And I was just stunned. I didn't know what to say, what to do. So I just, thank God my bus was there. I just happened to run on the bus, sit down. I don't know if anybody saw what happened. I think because they circled around, but nobody saw. But anyway, I learned a very grave lesson during that time, right? That, okay, first of all, bullying wasn't right. And I was wrong on what I did, and you reap what you sow, right? And so, and I can laugh about it now, but I connected it to this, that this young lady, she stood up against the bullying, right? you got to stand firm against what you know is right. And what, especially what you know is right in the Word of God. We can stand for a whole lot of things. We can stand for our opinions. We can stand to, you know, for something that we think this should be a certain way. But the proof is this. I mean, the litmus is this. Is it founded on the Word of God? And if it's founded on the Word of God, then that's what you stand on. I can stand for a whole lot of things, but more than anything, I'm going to stand for the Word of God. So if the Word of God tells me I can be victorious in this, if the Word of God tells me this was what belongs to me, this is how I'm going to live my life, this is, you know, this is that, that's what I'm going to stand on. We can spend a whole lot of energy on a lot of things, but now more so than ever before, we got to stand on the Word of God. So of course we have an enemy. We have a bully. Just like I was a bully for that small moment in time, right? So, but we got to stand against the enemy. We can't just allow him to constantly badger us and torment us. And we come to church and we hear about what God has given us. We read our word. We hear about it. We pray and we ask God to help us. And God's trying to help us. But we can't just cower out. You know, we got to allow the good fight of faith to come to the forefront, okay? So, in the Word of God, in Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against what he's firing at you. Stand against what he's throwing at you. Stand against his strategic plans and, you know, all the things that he's throwing your way, the darts and, you know, the accusations and, you know, the suggestions and, you know, the temptation that he's throwing your way. You got to stand against that. You can't just, you know, cower out and allow the enemy to do whatever he wants to do with you, you know? And so, that's what the word is admonishing us to do. So, yeah. So if you want to live a life that's according to God's word, you want to live through these challenging times and you want to come out on top, then you're going to have to take a stand for something. Take a stand for the word of God, right? So then in the 13th verse, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor. That's a key thing that keeps being emphasized, the whole armor of God. We'll get into that after a while. And then this goes on to say that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand, right? Have we done all to stand? And that, I could stay right there for a good little while, right? When you wake up in the morning and the enemy is bombarding you with all kinds of negative thoughts, when you feel anxious, when you feel like you're overwhelmed by all, have you taken a stand? Have you said, stop, devil. The Lord lets me know in his word that I don't have to put up with your mess, right? I mean, come on, think about it. You know, I think used the analogy before that if somebody comes knocking at your door, are you just going to say, come on in, do what you want to do? Unless they force themselves in on you, right? But even in that, you know, you're not going to be, you know, in a natural state of, you know, oh, come on in. No, you're going to be like trying to resist. You're going to try to shut the door. You're going to try to do something to keep the enemy from the other sides and trying to infiltrate and come in on your territory, right? And so you have to recognize when you're not taking a stand. And sometimes, you know, it's you're taking a stand when you open up your mouth and you rebuke the enemy. And there's a word that gives credence to that. We'll share it eventually. But the main thing that I'm trying to get you to say is awaken to whether you're taking a stand against the enemy or not. Or are you cowering out? Are you allowing fear to cause you to run, right? Our bishop said something very strong in his message the other day. He said, you know, nobody signs up for the army and you're not expecting to be in a war, right? We don't want to sign up for a war, but you know, we have those who, you know, they have incentives, right? You sign up for different military, you know, legs because you want to get an education. Okay. So when a war breaks out, you know, what your motives were wrong, right? You weren't signing up to be a part of this arm of the military because you want to fight for your country. You want to fight for what's right. No, you signed up because you want to get an education, right? And so when your motives are not right for a cause, then, you know, you're always not going to be prepared for the fight. you're not going to be prepared to take a stand, right? You're going to cower out. You're going to wimp out. And that's why you see people go AWOL, right? Because, and there's many reasons, but that's one of the main reasons why people are going to go, you know, go AWOL. And we can't do that. We can't allow the enemy to cower us out, right? And so check how you're taking a stand. When the enemy spews out lies and accusations against you, do you take a stand for the truth? When you know the truth, it's a difference when you don't know the truth. It's a difference when you don't know better. But when you know the truth, do you just brush it off? Oh, it's not that bad. No. Any lie is a lie, right? And any lie that the enemy can infiltrate in our lives, you know he's not going to just let that one lie slip in. It is crafted in such a way when he releases lies that it begins to open up a crack, and then that crack becomes a bigger crack, and then it becomes a wide open gate that he can allow more lies to come in. And when he gets you with those lies, he can captivate you and hold you captive. And so check yourself to see if you really are or have equipped yourself to take a stand. To take a stand for the word, to take a stand for God, to take a stand for what's right, right? So the word of God tells us that's what we've been equipped for. You know, you get the armor. Why? Because we're going to stand against whatever the enemy throws our way, right? You know, when you go into whatever you do anything for God, you got to be willing to take a stand, right? On your job, do you take a stand for when people just cracking jokes and saying all kinds of things? Do you take a stand? I remember one time, I was on my job and something was going on and with a religious leader, right? And he wanted to lump us all in this box to say, nobody's any good. Nobody can be trusted. And I had to take a stand because I knew I'm living righteous. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm living righteous. I'm doing everything that I can to live by the word of God. So I took a stand and he backed up. He was like, whoa. Okay. You know, but I let him know, yeah, you know, I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be meek, but I'm not going to let you run all over me and tell me who I am. And put me in a lump, a pot with everybody else when I know I'm not, right? So I took a stand. And there's times in your life when you're going to have to take a stand. Amen. And then Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then it goes on and talk about more parts of the armor. And so I'm going to stop right there because I think it's important, you know, that we recognize that. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will do what? He will flee. Okay. Amplified version says, stand firm against him. And what he's going to do, he's going to run. I love this message version that says, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper, right? So the enemy is going to flee if we take a stand against him, right? And so, you know, as we set the stage for understanding how to live life in these challenging times, these are some key things, two main things that I talked about. And that is you gotta recognize that you gotta relinquish power to God. You gotta yield to the power of God and let God be God in your life, right? And then you gotta be willing to take a stand against the enemy. And that's no matter what it is, that's in your faith. That's whether the enemy throws sickness your way. God is always constantly reminding me, you know, you get a little headache. You can't be okay with that. You got to take a stand against the enemy to recognize, okay, we want to crack it up to, okay, well, this is why I got a headache. And okay, yeah, there may be some reasons, but the ultimate culprit behind it all is that the enemy wants to infiltrate us with sickness and disease to slow us down. And if he can, he wants to stop us. So we got to recognize it all ties into that spiritual warfare that we're in. You're going to be challenged in your body. You're going to be challenged in your faith. You're going to be challenged in your beliefs. You're going to be challenged in your relationship. You're going to be challenged. It's going to come, but are you going to take a stand in that? And as you take a stand, relying on the power of God, which we will see, it comes to his word, it comes to you know, confessing his word, comes to take it on that full armor that he's given us to be able to withstand him. And so I just want to challenge you, if you can just focus right now on those two main things, the power of God and withstanding the enemy, those are two great qualities in your Christian life, in your spiritual life, that's going to empower you to fight the good fight of faith. That's going to empower you to be able to overcome in challenging times. So take time, meditate on it, see where you are, locate yourself, ask yourself questions. Am I allowing God's power to be manifested in my life? Or am I relying on my own power? Or have I given power to somebody else and trusting that they will, you know, help me through these challenging times? No, ultimately, power belongs to God. And am I taking a stand against the enemy and not just allowing him to dish out whatever he wants to dish out, spirit, soul, or body, but I'm taking a stand and I'm allowing God to show me how to walk out this life according to his plan for my life. Share this with someone else. I know this has been a blessing, and I believe it will be a blessing to them as well. God bless you.